Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, friends. It's Monday night again, time for Raising Expectations, your show, and we're so glad that you're here. We never take for granted the fact that you're here, you watch, and you pray for us, and want you to know that we pray for you also, and we're very glad that you're here, and it's always interesting when I start the show and the phone rings. That's off now, don't worry, but in any event, we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and for time's sake, you all know we're what we like to say, blood-bought, born-again believers. We believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was sent by the Father in heaven. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And we know he's coming again for us because he left remembering who we were. And the great part about that is every day he walks with us. And boy, that's exciting. We are never alone. Sometimes remember, just stop what you're doing. Be still and realize he's right there. Right there for you, just like he promised. And the feeling will come over, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. It's really something to walk with. I'm so tickled and excited to be a believer, and I'm excited to share with you, all of us, on behalf of this wonderful group, and I'm going to share with you right now, we're thrilled to have with us a very special guest tonight. So get ready. Hey, get a pad. Get ready. Write down some notes. Be ready to hear a great testimony and story. You know, our team is a blessing in my life. I'm Pastor Joe. You know me, but very quickly, so that you will know if you don't, who our team is. We have on the West Coast, as you know, Dr. Paul Hall in Lompoc, California. I put Lompoc in Texas last week, but in any event, yes, he's from Lompoc, California. And Paul and I have been friends over 55 years now. So Paul is a great man of God. He's a retired pastor. He's a preacher. He's a writer. He's a teacher. Most of all, the love of God shines through him everywhere he goes. He's also our scribe. So when you see him looking down like this at times, he's scribing the program because we got a book coming out. It's going to be the first 5 years with Raising Expectations. Every night by night, you'll see our guests and read the stories and the testimonies of people. And I think it's going to be a very, very special book. So Dr. Paul is right there. We go to the East Coast or the South, the deep South there, all the way back to South Carolina. We have, as you know, Steph Thayer and her husband, Dr. Craig Thayer. Steph is a, as you know, health and wellness coach. In order to take that back very quickly, she is the world's best health and wellness coach. She walks with the Lord, and we're not bragging. We're not tooting a horn. It's almost as loud as the second coming. She is the best health and wellness coach that there is. So if you have any questions, you can go to her website, and it's right there, Wellness with Steph. It's coming right up there. There it is. You get, live your life out loud because the Lord's talking out of you from within. And she shares with you how to take care of who you are. And first of all, begins with her walk with Christ and getting to know Christ as your Savior and letting him lead you. It's a great program. She gives a lot of things and shares and helps an awful lot of ladies across the nation and an awful lot of guys. My daughter, who lives and is a Christian singer in Ohio, follows her a lot and really appreciates the things that she says. And so, and my daughter's 50, and I'm only 45. I don't know how that happened. But in any event, is my nose growing yet? No, we're good. But in any event, we're going to go from right here. They are in, oh, wait a minute, Tank Thayer. Let me talk about Dr. Thayer. That's the good-looking guy on her left, and she has done a good job on him because he's spectacular. And Tank is a trauma surgeon. and had a testimony about his life from somebody I saw yesterday at church. And he goes, oh my gosh, that's Dr. Thayer right there. And he blessed his life years ago. And I said, that's the guy. It's great to know how God blesses through all of us. Hopefully when we walk with him, people he brings across our path. He also is an author, first time author, great author. His book is called Saved. It's an incredible book. It's on the website. You get it on our website. You could just go there and find it, Finding God in the Ordinary. I love it when somebody who is a surgeon, as he is, will say, God works the greatest in my life in the ordinary things, and that's the way he works in our lives. We never know what to expect because he's right there in the midst of it. So Save, the trauma of the true accounts of the miracles of his life. You want to get that book. It's going to be a great one. You can check our website or go anywhere. My book also, Legitimate Faith, Producing Authentic Hope. It's quite a story in there, endorsed and forced into this by Zig Ziglar himself. I hope you'll look this up and get a copy for yourself, and hope it blesses you and leads you. So moving from the south back across as the dove flies, we got to make it faster. So we're going to go with an eagle tonight, all the way back to McKinney, Texas. We have our favorite pastor in Texas. No question. Pastor Ron Greer. And Ron is right there. And as you all know, he is the owner of the greatest, the best looking bookcase that all of us have on this show. And it really is right there. That's an excellent bookcase. Ron is a pastor. Ron's a speaker. Ron's a counselor. Ron works with counseling men and helping churches across the nation. Ron is a man who loves God. And my goodness, we love Ron too. He's just a blessing. So these people right here bless my life every day now. And I just thank God for him every morning. I pray for him in the morning, pray for him in the night, and I know they're praying for me. It's great to be in this family of God right here. Now, tonight, we all want to let you know we've got something really special. We've been praying for her. Her name is Grace Townsend Gorth, and I'm sure you know about her. You've been reading about her all week. We're blessed to have her with us. I'm pulling this up again, and I love it. You know, when you get your notes all set and then it pops up another direction, I know you've been reading and because you've been contacting me. We've had one of the largest groups of people calling to find out about this that we have yet to have. She's the daughter of the founder of the Wycliffe Bible Commentary and the Wycliffe Bible translators taking the Word of God. I'm going to let her tell you the story. I'm done. I want to pitch the ball to her. But she's going to tell you the story of how God worked when she was young and how God works now. And we'll probably have to have an ongoing story in this because there's so many things that God has done. And the same God's going to do the same things in our lives as we look to him. So we want to bring you on with the round of applause. And we start like this. And we say, welcome to Raising Expectations, a round of applause. Grace, wonderful to have you with us. Come and share some from your life. And later we'll share it with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Joe. Really appreciate it. It's such an honor to be here. And I'd like to share with you really my dad's and mom's life and how God used them. I'm going to give you just some little tidbits about myself. I was 7 years old when I accepted the Lord, and I accepted the Lord because I grew up in Peru, South America, on the Amazon River. And that night, we were having one of our terrific, terrific rainstorms, and the sky opened up, and I could just see Jesus coming through the clouds. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I got to make sure I'm going to heaven. And so I asked Jesus into my heart. And it's been a wonderful journey ever since. And I went to live mostly in Peru. I lived some in Colombia, some in Mexico. I went to 5 different high schools. And I've just been really, really blessed. I grew up with a missionary family. And I'll share with you Daddy's story in just a minute. So all I knew was missions. Well, when I got married at the age of 19, I assumed I was going to be a missionary. Never thought I needed to ask my husband what his thoughts were. Mm-hmm. And so at the reception, one of the missionaries went through the line and she said, Grace, how do you feel about living in the United States the rest of your life? The United States was a foreign country to me. And I went into complete, total shock. I don't remember the rest of my wedding. I don't remember my honeymoon. I was just absolutely in shock. And so I would put literature out on all the tables, and being a missionary is a good thing, right? So I try to get Tom to go hear all these missionary speakers. Surely he would get called. And finally he said, honey, I've been called to be a Christian businessman. Well, I immediately called Daddy because Daddy always solved my problems. And he said, no grace. We praise God for our Christian businessmen, because without them, we wouldn't have the airplanes that we need, the funds for our missionaries. Well, that was Tom's dream, and it wasn't mine. But then later, many years later, and when I was 50, God opened the door for me to join Wycliffe. And I'm excited to say I'm a Wycliffe member, and I must say it was one of the most challenging things I've ever had to do. And I have the privilege of serving with JARS. But I'd like to share with you a little bit about JARS later, but I'd like to share with you about my mom and dad, because they're really unique and special people. Daddy's story is World War I, and he was getting ready to go overseas to serve his country. When about a week before they were to go, a woman missionary speaker, Zelma Zimmerman, was sharing the need to sell Bibles and tracts in Guatemala. So that's what she did back in those days, 1917. Well, Daddy and Robbie thought they had a, well, she went up to Daddy and Robbie and she said, so when are you going to come help us serve and sell Bibles and tracts? You know, for you pastors here, you know, we kind of say, would you think about it? Would you pray about it? And she wanted to know immediately when they were going to go. And so they thought they had the right answer. They said, well, we are called to go serve our country overseas. And we're to leave in about a week. And Daddy said, she literally shook her finger in their face and said, you cowards, you leave God's work for women to do while you go off to war. Well, now Daddy was 21 years old. That didn't sit too well with this young man. And so they went and talked to their commanding officer. And this is in the midst of the war now, not before or after, in the midst. And he said, no, you will do more good selling Bibles and tracts than going over to Europe. I release you. And they were released from the army. Wow. And so Daddy and his good friend Robbie went to Guatemala. When they arrived, the director of the under Central American mission, because Wycliffe and JARS wasn't started then. And the director was so excited. He took one look at Robbie, and Robbie was an outstanding a sportsman, and took one look at Daddy. And he said, that skinny Townsend will last 2 months. And as it happened, Robbie went to be with the Lord in a drowning accident on his fourth year of serving in Guatemala. And Daddy lived to the young age of 85. Well, his first assignment was to go sell these, to go witness to three people before he could have supper that night. So he knew very little Spanish at that time, was out in the streets. And he was really nervous, really scared. He finally sees somebody that he could go over and witness to, and he just walked right by him. He couldn't say a word. So he walks further on, and he sees another Indian, and he goes up to thinks, well, I can do this one. Walks up to him, couldn't say anything. At this point, he's pretty desperate. And so he's reaching out to God, and he sees another man coming, and Daddy goes up to him. And he barely can get the words out. Señor, no sé el Señor Jesús. Do you know the man Jesus? Well, in Latin America, Jesus is a very common name. And the gentleman said to him, sorry, I'm new in town. I don't know him. But at that point, Daddy was done. He went back to the group house, and you'll be glad that we got supper. But I share that story with you for a reason. Witnessing is hard for me. And it's easy to say, well, if it's hard for you, it's not my calling. I don't need to do it because somebody else will do it. And I look at Dad, think of Daddy, how he persevered, and he became known to witness to everyone. I mean, everyone he ever came in contact with. He always had a New Testament in South America. It was always the Catholic New Testament because that was what they respected there. And more cab drivers would ask to be, when Daddy would try to pay them for the trip, they would say, no, could we please have your New Testament? And he had New Testaments every matter where he was. And one of the things I like to share too is that when we had company all the time in our home. I mean, Mom is a teacher. She kept a diary of all everything. And she recorded that 1 year we only slept 4 nights in our bed because we had so much company. Daddy, at the end of the meal, he never read the scriptures to our guest. He had our guests read them to him. And there's power in that because they're reading God's word. Mm-hmm. Well, 1926, Daddy felt that there was a need for aviation in missions. Now, very few people knew about aviation back in 1926. But as it so happened, an Army Air Corps colonel came through in Guatemala, and he sat down with Daddy and wrote out an entire program for aviation, the cost, how many airplanes you would need, the whole thing. Now, it wasn't until 1948 that that dream came true. If God gives you a vision, hold on to it. I hope you don't have to wait 20 plus years to have it come true. But don't give up, because if God's given it to you, he has a plan for you.
Amen.
And it's exciting. I'll finish Daddy's story in a minute, but I'd like to share my mom's story, because Daddy's from California. My mom's Chicago. Daddy's World War I. Mom is World War II. There's 20 years age difference. Now, during World War II, the Chicago Tribune was running an article on the most outstanding Jew, the most outstanding Catholic, the most outstanding Protestant. Now, my mom won the contest for the most outstanding Protestant because she knew you got to heaven by your works. And so she had all those pins for perfect attendance, perfect Bible memorization. You got little gold pins back then. Well, when the Chicago Tribune interviewed people, mom was one of the first, so she had the longest interview. And at the end, they said she won. That was called a cruise around the world, really a cruise around Europe, okay? Towards the end of the cruise, the chaperone came up to mom and said, "You know, Elaine, you really didn't win this contest." And mom said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Remember that little Salvation Army girl?" And mom said, "Yes, I thought for sure she was going to win." And he said, "Well, she did." And mom said, "Well, what happened?" Now, remember, this was to unite the faith. So socializing was very, very important. And remember, this would be 1940, early 40s. And he said, "Well, Elaine, when we asked her if she would dance, she said no." Again, remember the era that the story's in. And mom said, "Well, you never asked me if I could dance." And he said, "Oh, we didn't have to, Elaine. We knew you would dance." And I could tell you many, many stories on mom. But one of my favorites is when they came back from the cruise, her family had changed churches. And the North Gospel Center, which was started by Lance Latham, the founder of Awana Clubs, and they started going there, and they all came to know Jesus as their savior. And mom's sister was very handicapped, very crippled from arthritis. And on a rainy night, her mom asked, "Would you please go pick up your sister, Shirley, from Bible study?" And mom didn't want to go out in that rain. She says, I don't need to go. I don't need to go. Finally, her mom convinced her that she needed to go. And so she went and got the car, went. And when she found out where the church was, she said, "Oh, my goodness. How can you worship the Lord in a bowling alley?" And so she said, "I'm not going in there." So she sat in the car. And then guess what? Women's ladies started coming out of the church. I remember the era, mean collars, mean coats. She said, "Oh, my, there must be money in this church. I better go check it out." So she goes in, and Mrs. Latham is teaching a wonderful Bible class on Ephesians. "You are saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast." Well, my mom's hand shot up right away. She was not she was not fearless. And she said, "Oh, Mrs. Latham, you get to heaven by your works." And Mrs. Latham said, "Well, you just read the verse with me." And she said, "I know, but you get to heaven by your works." And Mrs. Latham said, "If I can show you in God's word, would you believe?" And she said, "Oh, you can show me anything you want, but I know it's by your works." Well, for 6 weeks, Mrs. Latham took my mom through the scriptures. And I tell you, I don't know anybody who understood and caught God's grace like my mom did. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just, after that, her friend said, there's a brand new mission organization that's starting, Wycliffe Bible Translators. The founder is speaking at a church. Let's go hear him speak. So he was speaking on the need for teachers in Mexico. And mom and the teacher, her friend was a teacher, and mom said, turned to Esther, "Well, I'm sure God's calling you to go teach those kids in Mexico." And I says, "Oh, no, I'm praying God's going to call you." Well, mom talks of a battle with God like Jacob had. There was only one room in the house she could lock, and it was the downstairs bathroom. And she had just been made superintendent of 300 schools in Chicago. Now, this is in the 40s. Even rare today for a woman to have that kind of a position.
Yeah.
And she was trying to convince the Lord that he would much rather her support four missionaries than go. But the Lord finally got a hold of her. And then she, you know, we've all learned the lesson that we don't tell the Lord we won't do anything, right?
Yeah.
You haven't, I have. Anyway, so she tells the Lord, "Well, I will go under three conditions. I won't go single," because back in those days, you'd come back an old maid. And she was not going to be called an old maid. "And I won't marry anybody who'd been married before." And I can understand that one. And daddy had been married before. His wife, they were married 25 years, and his wife had died. She had a lot of severe medical issues. Mm. And then she said, "I won't marry anybody much older than me." And I'm kicking myself that I never asked her what that was about. Well, she successfully did all three.
Yes, right.
Goes to the mission field single and marries the founder. She marries someone who'd been married before and somebody older than her. Daddy was 20 years older than her. But wow. I tell you, she had an amazing, amazing life. And no matter how difficult challenges were, she always found something good in it. I owe a lot to my mom. But let's go back to my daddy. He was assigned to sell these Bibles and tracts up into a large town in up north in Guatemala called the Cachiquels. Now, in the Cachiquel language, you can concentrate a single verb 100,000 different ways.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I can rarely do ran, run, and whatever. And so they assigned Daddy up to this Cachiquel language. Daddy had a wonderful co-worker that helped him. And they were going from village to village to village and realized they weren't selling many Bibles and tracts because guess what? They were in Spanish, the language of the country. One day, Francisco Stias, his helper, said, "You know, if your God is so great, why doesn't he speak my language?"
Mm, boy.
The daddy knew God spoke Cachiquel, and he knew the only way was to give them the scriptures in their heart language.
Amen.
Yeah. Daddy's story is strictly a God story because daddy had no linguistic training whatsoever. I mean, nothing. And he did the Cachiquel New Testament in 10 years without any linguistic training, without the computers, without the modern technology that we have today. So I love telling my dad and mom stories because they're God stories. Mm. It's not something that you could do alone.
Mm.
One day, after he finished the Cachiquel New Testament, he did a language, an Aztec language in outside of Mexico, Nahuatl language. And the only person that could help him translate was the mayor. And the mayor was a real rough man, but he knew Spanish, so he helped to have a common language for them to work through. One day, the mayor, Don Martin was his name, Don Martin. Don Martin came to daddy and said, "Señor Cameron, could I have some copies of the Gospel of Mark that we just finished translating?" And daddy said, "Sure, Don Martin, but why do you want them?" And he said, "Before I knew Jesus, I would beat my wife. I would spend all my money on liquor. And I'd carry a gun to protect me from all my enemies. Now that I know Jesus, I don't beat my wife anymore. Mm. The money goes to feed and clothe my kids. And I don't carry a gun anymore. Wow. And I want to be able to give these portions of God's word to my enemies so that they too can have the peace and joy that I now have."
Amen. Wow.
So when Daddy finished the Kachikel language, he realized there are lots of other languages out there. You know, God was merciful. He kind of thought there might be 500. How to get your arms around 500. We soon realized that there were 2,000. Wycliffe's first book was called 2,000 Tongues to Go. Today, we know that there are over 7,000 distinct languages, not dialects, distinct languages. And there's still a third of those languages that have no way of knowing that Jesus loves them. So Daddy started Summer Institute of Linguistics, today known as SIL International, with two students. Today, it's one of the largest organizations in the world. And to train linguists to translate God's word. Have you ever thought what would happen if you had to learn Hebrew and Greek to read God's word?
Yeah.
Afraid that I would not be too fluent in God's word. And and I'm so grateful that John Wycliffe translated the scriptures into Latin, I mean, from Latin into English, and we can have, I know I have several versions of God's word in my own home. I'm sure you all do too. If I don't understand one, I can go grab another one. But at least the Nationals, the Indians have at least one version of God's word they can read. And when they get the Bible, you guys, they wrap it in paper, wrap it in cloth, never touches the floor. It's the most prized own possession that they have.
Wow.
They have such respect for God's word.
Amen. Wow.
Then after that, God gave Daddy, like I mentioned, a vision for aviation in 1926. But at that point, the organization said, no, we are strictly a linguistic organization. We are not going to get involved in aviation. But guess what? God steps in.
Amen.
And so in 1947, February of 1947, when I'm 6 weeks old, we lived in Peru at that time. But we had our first training camp for training, because back in then, if you wanted to be a missionary, most people didn't know how to sleep in a hammock and make a fire, you know, how to survive in the jungles. And so Daddy wanted to go and encourage the new recruits. So we flew into Chiapas, Mexico, which is on the border of Mexico and Guatemala. Now, MAF, Missionary Aviation Fellowship, was in existence at that time, and so they flew us in. When it was time to fly us out, they weren't available. So they had to call in a commercial plane, a Piper. The pilot was very young, inexperienced, and in a huge, huge hurry. Mom and Dad were sitting on the floor of the plane. Mom's feet were under the pilot's seats. I was in a woven Indian basket on their lap. No seat belts whatsoever in those days. On takeoff, the tail of the plane hit the top of the trees and made a nosedive in the side of the ravine. One more aspect I forgot to tell, show you the inexperience of this pilot. Mom was still trying to close the door of the airplane as it was going down the so-called runway. That happens today. Mom and Dad somehow were able to get out of the airplane. They both suffered severe injuries from that accident, and I was thrown from the plane, caught by a national, referred to as an angel, because no one could ever find him again.
Oh, my goodness.
And so from that accident, Daddy was able to convince the board that, no, we need an aviation program. And so that's how JARS was formed. Now, JARS used to stand for Jungle Aviation Radio Service, because we had radio back then. Today, we don't really use radio, so now it stands for it's my own saying, just about any required service, but the real name is Jungle Aviation and Relay Service, because we relay God's word, we relay the people that help them translate, and also we relay a lot of government officials, because in most areas, there's no other way to get around without our airplanes. It's just our planes.
Yeah.
So in 1948, JARS was formed, and JARS was started in Peru. Again, if you do the math, that's 22 years later from when God gave Daddy the vision for aviation. And today, God is really using jars in mighty, mighty ways. But I want to give you another story that shows the importance of jars. Betty Snell, a Bible translator in Peru. Remember those days we had radio. A radio message came in, and we had a wonderful clinic with a doctor and two nurses out in the jungles there. And Daddy, a radio message came in while Daddy was there, which was unusual. And it said, "We have a very sick missionary, Betty Snell. We need a plane to come in and get her right away." So they sent out the doctor, Dr. Alteg, brought Betty Snell in, and she was indeed very sick. She had a severe case of hepatitis, and if she hadn't been brought in, she would have died. Just before Daddy had to leave the jungles to go back into Lima to do government work, he asked the doctor, "Could I see Betty one more time before I leave?" And he said, "Yes, but make it short. She's still very sick." Now, Daddy was known as Uncle Cam to everybody, even officials, everybody called him Uncle Cam. When Daddy walked into her room, Betty Snell looked up at Daddy and said, "Uncle Cam, I'm alive today because of jars."
Amen.
And Daddy never forgot that. "I'm alive today because of jars." Oh. He'd heard so many stories of missionaries dying on the field. No way to get supplies to them, no way to get for the mail or anything to them, no way to bring them out of in a disaster, or no way. It was just, if you went out there, and if there was a canoe available for you, because all transportation in Peru was done by canoe for the airplane, and then you really, well, we won't go into all the challenges of the canoe on those rapids and so forth.
Oh my goodness, Grace, those are... That's absolutely incredible stories. Can we jump in with you here?
Absolutely.
Stephanie, first, because we love what you're saying. Stephanie, do you have a thought or a question, or anybody, Ron, or just feel that?
I've just been taking so many notes because your stories are just fantastic.
Amen.
What a unique childhood, but such a rich environment to see God, you know, just palpable. And I love, you can see how much you loved your childhood and those stories and your parents. And I was giggling because we're 20 years apart, and whatever you say never to, that's probably the things that are going to happen. So
God's good.
Yeah. Lots of nevers, and God giggles and he says, "Watch this." But was it ever a struggle for you to be the daughter of pretty well-known parents?
You know, there never was. And that's because Mom and Dad gave us, we had a lot of, we were allowed to be kids. And I'll tell you one example. Daddy loved the ocean because he was raised in California. He loved the ocean. And so we'd always go every summer, spend a week at the ocean up and off the shore of Lima, because it's on the shore of the ocean. And so we were walking down this one time, we found a skull. And so we asked Mom if we could take the skull back with us. Obviously, it was very old. And she said, "Sure." She didn't know what we had planned to do with that skull. So we brought it home with us. And we were waiting for some important dignitaries to spend the night to stay with us. And so we put it on the pillow with the sheets over it, eagerly anticipating for the scream, right? Well, all we got was, there's four of us, I'm the oldest. "Grace, Joy, Lanadel, Bill, get up here right now." And we knew we were in trouble. Now, so we go up there, and Mom gives the skull to Joy, thank goodness, and that she's next in line. She and her husband are Bible translators in Mexico and did two Bible translations in Mexico. She thought, "Well, I'm not going to bury this. Tomorrow's garbage day. I'll just throw it down the garbage chute." So that's what she did. The garbage man came by, picked up our garbage, and oh, he had found gold.
Oh.
Because the rumor was, you won't get a hold of this, the rumor was that we were there working with the Indians, killing them, which we never did, to squeeze the oil out of their bodies to run our airplanes.
Oh my goodness.
So he had proof. He had the skull. So he takes it into the biggest town, Pucallpa, shows it to the mayor there. The mayor comes out to, you know, the husband's always gone, right? When something like this happens, always gone. So the mayor comes back to Yanina Kocha, where we all lived. And we come home from school and we find mom surrounded by some of these policemen and the mayor and so forth. And oh my goodness, we were scared spitting. We thought they were going to take mom to jail.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
They couldn't get their arms around it. This was an old, old skull. You know what I'm saying?
Ancient. Oh.
Finally, the mayor realized what was going on and mom was released. But that was a pretty scary moment.
But
I just share that story because we were allowed to be kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which was a gift. And every time we moved a lot. But it was all, my mom had a gift and it was an adventure.
Yeah.
Kids get to go on a new adventure today. And it was never, I'm so sorry you have to leave your kid toys behind. I'm so sorry you'll miss your friends. It was never that. It was always, we're getting ready to go on a brand new adventure. And so the way they brought us up, everything in life was a new adventure.
Man.
And it was we experienced a lot of amazing things because of who mom and dad were. But for us, it was just like, well, this is life. This is normal. It wasn't, and it was just how my mom and dad presented things.
That's great.
In fact, when I joined Wycliffe, it was one of the hardest things I did. And when I passed all the exams and everything, which, praise God.
Amen.
And I always said I would never join Wycliffe. And people would say, why? And I said, because Daddy always said if he had to join Wycliffe today, he wouldn't be accepted. Because he didn't have a Bible degree. He didn't have a college degree, never been to Bible school. Well, I didn't have a college degree and I'd never been to Bible school. I figured if they weren't going to accept Daddy, I wasn't going to be embarrassed to not be accepted in Wycliffe after applying. Well, when it was all done, the director of human resources came up to me and he said, Grace, we'd like to ask you a question. We're wondering if we should have a special program for CAM's children and other leaders' children. Ken Pike was a founder, basically, of linguistics. And I said, no. I said, we all need to go through the same path. And I really believe that. There should be no special treatment for anybody. We go through the same program. Mm. And but I was blessed with meeting amazing people. My husband was in shock because he'd know anything about missions. And he couldn't figure out, what is this house? Billy Graham walks in and out, and all these other people walked in and out. And what's going on here? And because it's just the way we were, you know, we're all one in God's eyes, right?
Amen.
And that's how we were brought up. There was no distinction between an Indian, a president. I mean, we mixed with both of them all the time.
Mm.
Lázaro Cárdenas, the president of Mexico at the time, was the best man at mom and dad's wedding. Gave them the wedding. They had to take out a door, I believe it was, to be able to get the wedding cake into the wedding hall. It was all done by the president in his summer palace.
That's good. Yeah.
I mean, just, but this was just normal for us.
Wow.
It was just normal. It was, but that was a gift my parents gave us.
Mm.
It was a gift.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, right. Dang, you got a thought. I could see those wheels turn. This is great.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I've strikingly noticed when I go to Honduras every year. And it's right next door to Guatemala.
Yeah.
And you see the kids running around without shoes. And, I mean, you bring a bunch of soccer shoes and they put them on and they take them off. It's like, you know, we're all freaked out about kids running around without shoes, but their feet are used to it.
Well, you're going to get sick. You're going to get worms. You're going to get this.
Yeah,
you know what Daddy's philosophy was? A germ a day keeps the doctor away.
Yes.
When I was 2 years old, we were in Mexico at this time. And daddy saw me eating dirt. And he told my mom, forget the vitamins.
Starts doing
Our immune system is so, but I'd like to share one more story on mom, if I may. This is, well, anyway, our house is up on a small hill overlooking a lake, Lake Edina. And we would watch the nationals come, park their canoes, climb up to the trees, go into town to work, and then pick up their. And one day, this dear old lady, and when I say old, she probably was in her early 50s, came by. We watch her come back and forth. And one day, she stopped at our house and she said, "Dona Elena, Auntie Lane, would you please teach me to read?" And mom said, "Sure, Dona Marta. But why do you want to learn to read?" And she said, "I want to learn to read so I can read God's word to my children, to my grandchildren, so that they all too will come to know Jesus." So mom spent every Friday afternoon teaching Doña Marta how to read. And as girls, we would have like, and they always kept us involved in the ministry. It wasn't mom and dad's ministry. I mean, we were, as a family, we were all doing everything together. And so we would have like Bible school. One of us would do the lesson, one would do games, one would do refreshments, and we rotated all the time. There was only one catch to this story. Dona Marta had leprosy. And the center was very concerned that mom was bringing leprosy on campus and into our home. One Friday night, as mom's getting ready for bed, she said, "Cam, come take a look at my toe, my big toe." It had turned completely white. Daddy said, "Oh, we've got to call Dr. Altig right away." Mom said, "No, he's had a hard week. We'll wait till Monday." Us kids were not aware of this at the time. I can't even imagine holding that in for a weekend. It's beyond my comprehension. As you can imagine, Sunday night, her toe was completely normal. Was it worth the risk of getting leprosy so that Dona Marta could learn to read the Bible to her children? About 15 years ago, my sister Joy and I went back to Mexico, went back to Peru. And we got a hold of Dona Marta's great granddaughter. She came and had coffee with us. She was a Wycliffe Bible translator.
Oh, amen. Wow.
Was it worth
Wow.
the risk?
Amen.
Was it worth the risk? Mom thoughts.
Wow. That's the way God works.
That's, I mean, that's just it. You never know the ripple of what you do.
You
That's right.
don't.
And I think it's Ephesians, right? It's, but by grace we're given, you know, what we have. And if we did it, we'd boast. If it's completely about actions, we would boast. So, yeah. It keeps us humble.
Praise God.
You would never meet a more humble person than my dad. You'd never pick him out in a crowd. For an example, in the early days, becoming a member of Wycliffe was pretty easy. And this one gentleman was having a hard time getting through all the, at that time, they thought a lot of paperwork. They said, "Well, Cameron Townsend's going to be speaking at Moody Bible Institute. Why don't you just go to Moody Bible Institute and look for him after the service?" So after the service, this man is looking all over in the reception room for Cameron Townsend. And he finally sees this man over in the corner, just kind of looking, watching the crowd. He goes over to him and he says, "Sir, do you by any chance know who Cameron Townsend is? Well, I need to meet him." And he said, "Oh, I'm glad to meet you. I'm Cameron Townsend." But you would never pick him out in a crowd. He was just one of everybody. And he loved children. If there were children in the room, he would say, "I'm to the adults, thank you so much for coming. I'm so glad you're here." And he'd go right to the kids. And he loved children.
Amen. Wow. Ron, you
Now,
have a thought, your question? I can see it. Yeah.
I was going to say you mentioned Billy Graham. What was your dad and Billy Graham's relationship like? The trick question.
Their relationship was written up in what was the magazine back then? That guy post, a secular magazine. Oh, anyway, They're quoted as Daddy would often give him Daddy. Billy Graham was on the Wycliffe board for quite a while, and Daddy would speak at some of the campaigns. And they all the but there was a fun rivalry between the two. Billy Graham kept trying to convince Daddy that he should be an evangelist, and Daddy kept trying to convince him to be a Bible translator. It's just a friendly rival between the two of them. And Ruth was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful lady.
Oh
So we had a we always looked forward to having time with them. They were great.
That's
thought
awesome.
I'd do a thought I'd do a trick a little softball trick question since one of the stories I like reading about them back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
There's a
Great.
good book out of my mom called Better Than We Dreamed.
Better than we
And you can
dreamed.
get it on Amazon. It's
Okay.
Better Than We Dreamed. And it gives her entire her story. You'll find out what an adorable child I was.
That, is that the book, Grace?
Yeah,
Oh,
that look better than we dreamed.
oh, better than we dreamed. And that's it. Okay, great. Better
That's
than we
it.
dreamed. Okay.
And for some
And
reason you can't get it, get a hold of Joe and we'll work something out to get it to you.
absolutely. We'll get up on our website.
And
Get
then the book on Daddy that has his whole life in it. It's the only book that I always want to know what was the family like? What was his childhood like? Thank you, Lord, for reminding me. Daddy Clo his father, my grandpa, who I never got to meet because Daddy was 50 years old or 51 when I was born. His
Oh.
parents are already gone. And but his father closed every prayer. Now, in those days, you had like 45 minutes of devotions in the morning and 45 minutes to family devotions in the evening.
Yeah.
And he closed every prayer with Habakkuk 2:14. May the earth be filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You think about it, it's no wonder that God called Daddy to Bible translation for the world.
Right. What a call.
I got off on a side. Oh, so the only book that gives Daddy's entire life, and you need to know that Daddy and Mom personally edited this book because some authors kind of highlight different things to create more fantasy or whatever. The only chapter he didn't edit was the chapter that was written after he died about his death and so forth. And we don't call it a death; we call it his. He was,
Ongoing.
Lord help me here. Anyway,
Moved ahead.
pardon.
Celebration. Moved ahead.
Yeah, no,
Moved
it's better than that. It was better than that. Lord help me here. Anyway, it's called Uncle Cam. That's what he was known by. And you can still get that book too. And if you can't, just let me know as well. Let Joe know and he can let me know.
Can we get a website that we can call as we're wrapping towards the end of our
Oh,
hour?
sure. Oh, I didn't have to talk about yours. Oh, my goodness.
That's all right. We'll just have you come back if that's okay.
Oh,
Now
I'm
we
so
know how to
sorry.
do it, huh, Grace? We got you set
Okay, if
up.
you want to know more about jars, go to jars.org.
Jars.org,
.org.
JARS.org.
And then what else did you want to know about how to?
That's probably how they could find you for books or testimony or prayer or anything they can contact.
It wouldn't be on their website.
Okay, on George's
I
website.
just looked, both of the books are available on Amazon.
Yeah,
Oh,
okay.
wonderful. Okay,
Okay.
good deal.
They're both
Okay.
well worth reading. They were unusual people.
Amen.
Every
Absolutely.
Friday night, Mom would have a different language group over to the house
Yeah.
because the translators don't get any trans much translation done out in the village. They have to come in for 6 months to actually do the translation. They bring a helper with them. And
Yeah.
so we, for whatever reason, my mom loved to make spaghetti, and serve spaghetti. That was one of the few things that, because they didn't know how to use utensils, so they would use their hands to make spaghetti. Well, one day I was, for some reason, I left the table and went out to the front, and the translator and had two nationals out in the front, and they were throwing up all the spaghetti. And he said,
Oh my.
"Why is she serving us worms?"
What?
And I wanted to say back to them, "I beg your pardon. Why are you eating grubs?"
Yeah, he's
Oh,
Grace, yeah, all those old ministers in this room, you got a bunch of pastors. We all remember feeding youth spaghetti over that and fried chicken. We had a lot of that. We got to take a second here. And Stephanie, we need to make a word out about the show. This is why we close out our show. But stay right there with us, if you would. This has been so great. Stephanie, could you?
Sure.
People have started to ask. That's good.
Sure. So we want to invite you guys to check out kind of the hub, which is our website. It's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And, you know, we are here to bridge the gap and bring people together. And just like you hear Grace and her giggles and her joy of just the Lord throughout her life, we're called to have a boldness right now, you guys. And God wants you. He calls you. And so you can see all through here, we have past episodes, and every episode is seasoned with the Lord, with different people's stories, different walks of life. You can also learn about each of the co-hosts on here. You can see the different book links. And actually at the top, which is where I normally start, you can donate. It takes money to run these programs, and we love the opportunity to really be able to reach anyone anywhere if they have internet. So it's a very unique opportunity that we have. So anything that you can give, we always appreciate.
That's it. And our books are there, and we're going to maybe get some more books on there. We're working on some things now. There you go. And you can go find all that on the website. Maybe we can get Grace's mom and dad and put them on there too. Boy, the time flies so much. This has been such an adventure for us, and just a spiritual lift. Talk about raising expectations, Grace. Your life, and you say what God has done, and we see what God has done, and the stories of what he did in their lives, we are reaping the benefits of now. And boy, do we need the light you shine in the world that we live in today. This is a dark world, but we serve a bright and loving Savior, and anything over our head is under his feet. He knows exactly what he's doing. And so we want to thank you for being with us. We're going to have to close out tonight, but I'll be back in touch with you, all of us, and share again. Maybe we can get another time on and hear some more about yours. Tell us about Mark. Is he flying a plane yet? We all know Mark. We had Mark on December 18th. See if he's flying a plane for you. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank God for you. We count it a blessing to be with you each week, and then know that you're following the program all during the week, whenever you feel like it. I get great messages that way, how you do that. So thanks so much. Pray for Grace. Pray for Jars. Pray for Wycliffe Translators, the SIL, and pray that all that God has created, as he's doing now in that ministry, continues to grow, reach out, touch, and change lives. Change lives for what, Pastor Joe? Changes them for the joy and the purpose, not the stuff, but the reality and the purpose of knowing every day in their life matters, and every day is sent ahead for eternity. But we're going to see Jesus someday. He's with us now. Wait till we see him face to face. So we invite you to do that. So thank you again, Grace. God bless you all. Thanks for being with us. Everybody will say, thanks. This is the best group of people you're ever going to meet. So we'll be back next week, same time, same station. And I'm going to see if we can't get Grace to come back again sometime here very soon and share some more with us. And we'll be praying for all you do, Grace. Thanks so much.
So much. It's an honor to be with you all. Thank you.
Bless
you. Thanks. Thank you, dear.
Thanks,
thank
ladies you. And gentlemen. Thank you so much. See you next week.
God bless.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.